Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And I'm now joined in the studio by Tom Lutz, who is the author of the recent article for the Chronicle of Higher Education, I Am Mad as Hell in California and Students Should Be Too. He's the author of the forthcoming Los Angeles Review of Books, and he was chairman of the Creative Writing Department at the University of California at Riverside until he resigned to protest budget cuts. Welcome to Background Briefing, Tom Lutz.
Thanks for having me, Ian.
And clearly the state of California has been in some dysfunction for some time because of Proposition 13 and the unusual requirement of supermajorities to pass both budgets and revenues. And it seems that they have just served up the University of California as the sacrificial lamb.
It's not just the University of California, also the California Community College system, the California State University system. It's the entire higher education system, which, of course, was the envy of the entire world, the greatest experiment in democratic higher education in the history of the world. And yes, it's been cut to tatters.
And you say in your article Journal of Higher Education, or the Chronicle of Higher Education, Tom Lutz, the article "Mad as Hell in California and Students Should Be Too," that the you cite these grim statistics and in fact attribute it to the reason it's happening is because of political demagoguery and corruption. 35 years ago, the University of California received 6.6% of the state budget and prisons 3%. Now the university gets 2.2% and the prison industrial complex gets 7.4%. So the legislator is taking money that should be used to educate the best of its citizens and using it to enrich the people who make a profit from imprisoning the poorest. A very sad commentary.
It's a dreadful commentary. The figures about prisons are I think particularly striking, since we know that there's a direct relationship between higher education and prison time. That is, the people with college degrees spend a lot less time in prison than people without them, for all sorts of reasons, including the ability to hire lawyers. But the idea that we're destroying the university system in order to save money, I think, the lie is put to that by these figures. That is, we are not. It's a question of priorities. It's not a question of whether or not there's enough money to have the university system that we've had in the past.
And as a department chair at the University of California, Riverside, you basically have, in the last few years, you've lived through this business of cuts. But it's, I guess, the metaphor is that they started cutting fat, and then they started to cut into the tissue, and now they're soaring into the bone. Is that what's happening?
Yes, absolutely. The most obvious aspects of this are the simple class size issue, for instance. That is, one of the ways everybody has determined the quality of university education has been based on class size. The smaller the average class size, it's been assumed, the better the education. And we know that this is true. To do a philosophy seminar with 15 students is the way that it's been done. To do a philosophy seminar with 80 students is a travesty. There are people in sociology who tell me that they have not taught a course with under 100 students for 5 years. Sections in science courses where they used to work with TAs have just been abandoned, and the teacher teaches a one section with 200 students in it. These are the kinds of things, and that's just the most obvious countable aspect of it. Students no longer get the courses that they need to graduate. Right? People are in college now for 6 years, seven, just shopping around, waiting until one of the courses that they need to graduate is available. But beyond that, the idea that you would actually choose the courses that were best for your path in life, that you would have a choice, is gone. Students sign up for whatever classes are available just to get the credit hours to move forward, whether they're interested in the subject or not, whether the subject is part of what they're working towards or not. It's a dreadful situation.
Again, I'm joined in the studio by Tom Lutz, who's the author of the recent article for the Chronicle of Higher Education, I Am As Mad As Hell in California, and Students Should Be Too. So you have the situation where the priorities have gotten skewed in a way that's frankly obscene, where we warehouse young, poor minorities in these prisons, a number of which have been privatized. For the so-called prison industrial complex, and a big part of it, of course, is the power of the prison guards union in Sacramento, which is now the most powerful lobby, making the teachers' lobby look pretty pale, I would think, by comparison. And you also have this ridiculous irony, of course, that when you say that the jails are not filled with people with college degrees, that obviously points out the absurdity of the situation. But what was great about the University of California system 35 years ago, and why it was the envy of the world, was that poor kids could afford it. I mean, it was about $5,000 or something back in the old days, wasn't it?
It was even less than that.
Even less than that, wasn't
it? Yeah. And 5 years ago, when I started teaching at Riverside, the student body, 31% Latino. Of those students, 85% of them were first-generation college students. It's still roughly 60% first-generation college students. It's around 20% Anglo white students. It is the access university for the University of California, the access campus. So it's still providing that function. It's just doing it at a much deteriorated.
Right. So the beauty of it was that it gave you a world class education for little money that regular working people could afford, and it really was a meritocracy. Right. And now you as somebody that's been on the faculty know all too well that they've just, you know, the budget cuts, which keep coming and coming and coming and coming, just keep reducing the staff down. You have no support. I've been trying to call people for my radio show. You can't get through to anybody because they don't have any phones anymore.
Yes, we took the phones out of our office 2 years ago.
I mean, it's insane. So
fairly minimal perk.
Right. So nobody can, you know, all of these right-wingers who are talking about how all these state employees are living off the fat of the land. Little do they know.
Yeah, and I should say that you brought up the prison guard union earlier, and the teachers union for elementary and secondary education. California, the UC faculty is not unionized, and we've been our own worst enemies in many ways. That is, every time a cut has come down from Sacramento, the faculty has figured out ways to try to not let it affect students. So we've a couple of years ago when we were all put on furlough, we took a vote as a faculty, and the faculty voted to take their furloughs on Sundays in the summer. In other words, we were going to make sure that we would not let this disrupt any classroom time. This is very noble as a general ideal. As collective bargaining, it was pretty stupid.
Well. One of the ways they've made up for the cuts, of course, is they keep charging the parents more and more. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that has the effect of making it less of a minority institution as it was, you know, making the scholarships scarcer. So in every respect, it's the worst kind of social engineering as a consequence of this. You mentioned in your article that all these legislators who keep making these cuts all have college degrees. I guess the question is, how much do they value education? The governor himself seems like a pretty enlightened guy. What's the problem here? Is it just because the state's broken, and until they get rid of those provisions in Proposition 14 that restrict the ability to pass budgets and raise revenues, the state's going to limp along?
Yes, I think the supermajority is the most obvious problem, a political discourse in which the idea of taxation is somehow it's impossible to talk about taxes as part of our common good. Except as a four-letter word. We are even though it's, I guess, five letters, taxes. I think the legislators have a total. The 122 legislators in Sacramento have a total of 144 degrees from state higher education. Roughly 130 of those are from California institutions. In other words, they came through the system when it was affordable, when it was possible for anybody performing at the level that you need to, could go to the university, and they are. It's the worst kind of drawbridge mentality to just say, okay, that's it. Nobody else gets to go anymore. Now, I'm not entirely against raising tuition if there is offsetting funds for students who can't afford to pay the tuition. That is, I'm not entirely against. The sliding scale, which is in effect right now, I'm not against tuition going up even farther, as long as we ensure that the basic idea of the master plan developed 50 years ago remains in effect.
Well, I'm across the board though in this country, education, particularly the higher education, the federal government wastes billions on these absolutely ridiculous diploma mills that you have out here. I mean, on the freeways, you see the names of them. And what happens is that the federal government actually gives money to these kids to subsidize these bogus diploma mills that have a powerful lobby. And they're the reasons why one of the most alarming statistics that I just learned recently is that the student debt in this country is greater than the credit card debt.
Yes.
And the way that it works is that these bogus diploma mills who give these kids a worthless education, they get all this taxpayer money, which goes to the kids in the form of loans, which are brokered through private parties, the intermediaries who do nothing. They bring nothing to the table except, like the mafia, they charge vigorish.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up with all these kids with worthless diplomas and indebtedness. Now, it seems to me that If they break the University of California and you've got this other tier, they're going to come together and the whole thing will be a wash.
Yeah, and University of Phoenix, we can name the main culprit in this, right? Is an enormous corporation with a lot of power. It's exercising it very, very smartly. It's just not exercising it in favor of its own students. Everyone in higher education is aware of this problem, everybody in Washington is aware of this problem, and the money.
But they're getting lobbied by the
money talks.
By these guys that have these, and it all goes back. This is the hard part of it: is it's the taxpayers' money, and the parents who get their kids hooked on these loans would obviously like the government to not to charge these interest rates, since the government is passing the money on. Why send it through a middleman? It makes no sense.
And of course, the main budget item for these for-profit colleges is their marketing. Right? They are very, very aggressive marketers. They go out
I didn't mean to digress.
Yes, exactly.
Because we've got just a very brief time here. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you think the students ought to be up in arms. Now, they think that we're a bunch of old 60s hippies and we're living in a time warp. What's wrong with them? Why can't they get off their backsides?
Well, I'm not entirely sure. There's a million ways to talk about it. One is a general sense of disempowerment that's come from years and years of watching the public will thwarted by corporate interests.
But do they know if they all got together and lobbied hard and made life miserable for these politicians, they could get some results?
Well, I thought that the best thing that we could do as a faculty was to say, okay, you're cutting our budget by a quarter. That means there's no freshman class this year. And so that across the whole system, that's several hundred thousand freshmen. That would be twice as many hundred thousand parents and four times as many hundred thousand grandparents and that many siblings all descending upon Sacramento and saying, this cannot stay.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here in the studio. It's been really interesting, Tom, and I'm sorry we have run out of time. Tom Lutz, again, who just quit in protest as chairman of the Creative Writing Department at the University of California at Riverside. He's now the editor of the Los Angeles Review of Books, and I would like to thank producer Spencer Downing and Kim Nassiter, and this program is available at ianmasters.com. You can also check out my blogs there, and I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another background briefing. Bye for now.
quiet.